Hi there, everyone. It's Akashic Wisdom, and this is Donna Fox. Welcome, welcome. From all over the world, here we are. This is going to be a great program tonight. A very dear friend and colleague of mine is going to be joining us tonight. Her name is Catherine Taylor, and she's not only a well-known author, but she also works with the Akashic Records, so we're going to get a chance to really talk with her about her work, and you're welcome to call in and ask her questions about her amazing subject called Teaching Your Inner Child the Secret. I am so excited about this because my little kid has been just kicking up a storm wanting to know what the secret is, and we all know that we've been looking at that movie or listening to that book on CD, so we're excited about that. And before we begin and before we actually start talking to Catherine, what I'd like to do is just tell you a little bit about our brand new newest sponsor. Our newest sponsor is Akashic Records Consultants International. And this is an organization that aids in teaching consultants and certifies Akashic Records teachers. And if you would like to know more about this wonderful organization, of which I am a member and certified by, go to their website at www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And you can learn all about the teachers that are in your area. You can learn about what we do and how we teach people how to access their own Akashic records. And eventually, on level two, we teach people how to access other people's records, the records of the land and animals, as well as level three is deepening your own work. So it's a wonderful organization, and we are so happy to welcome them as our sponsor. So for tonight, if you'd like to call in and talk to us, either a question for Catherine or a question for myself, Donna Fox, here's the numbers that we really want you to remember. Toll-free in the U.S., we'd like you to call 877-876-5227. And for those folks in Canada, please call 888-810-8322. Or a direct line for our international folks is 530-876-3222. And if you would like to email, if you're shy and you don't want to be on the line, that's fine. There's a thing on the website called Quick Chat, and you can actually type in your question. I won't be typing back your answer, but we will be answering that. I can certainly see it from here. And if you'd like to contact me, I'll be giving you my telephone numbers personal later, but you can also email me at akashicwisdom@aol.com. Okay, well, I think we've gotten all of our housekeeping things out of the way. Let's get to talking to Catherine. So, Catherine, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
yes.
So happy to see you. It's really late. Catherine lives in Minneapolis, and it is like 11 o'clock there and 12 o'clock my time. But back on the West Coast, they're just starting their evening. So we're keeping our eyes open with toothpicks here as we talk. Now, if I remember correctly, and I know that you'll tell me, we first met in 2001. Actually, we met in 2000. No, 2001 we met, right?
Yes,
September 29th. Pardon me?
It was September 29th.
September 29th, 2001, and Catherine was also at a Level 1 workshop that I taught in 2002. It was a very large workshop in Minneapolis. It was actually my second one, but it was the very first one from the Edge Expo. So I am so curious if you'll give our listeners a bit of a recap, if you will, is how that first class in 2002, if you will, affected you and your work, and then just take it from there, my darling.
Well, if you'll remember, before I even took the class, you and I had ventured out to California, remember? So.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, and then we flew back. We flew back, and on that particular weekend, it was in January, and it snowed in San Rafael, California, and it was like a heat wave back here.
So I remember that.
Yeah, I was on a sabbatical for 5 weeks in California, and you came out to meet me, and you did a little gathering there, so I'd sat in on that. But I wanted to go through the class because we talked a lot about it, and I really wanted to be able to work with the records. And so I guess the best way I can describe it is that, you know, I've been on a spiritual path for probably 30 years, and I've certainly developed my own intuition. But what I loved about taking the class and learning how to access the records through the vibrational prayer that you teach us in the class, it was like, for me, every time I, you know, said the prayer, it was like taking an elevator straight to my higher self. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a very natural process. And that's, what, how many years ago? I guess 6 years ago. And I bet I open my records 3 or 4 times a day. You know, I work with them a lot. I work with them within my practice. I never exercise without opening my records. You know, so they become a very, just a very constant tool. And then I think at that time, then we had to wait a certain period of time and work within our own records. And then I took your level 2, I think, within 6 months, though.
Right.
Yeah. And so then I started using them a lot and integrating them into the modality of my inner child work. And I was also training for a marathon at that time, so I was integrating them into that training. And remember, in fact, I went over to Poland and ended up opening the records of the land there.
Oh, yes, please tell us that story. I'm so interested, and I know that our listeners are really so interested in how you have used the records in your work to develop the programs that you have, or how that has affected it. And I so want to hear about Poland, and because that's just kind of the beginning of a lot of wonderful stories for you.
Well, it really was, because at that point in time, that would have been in March of 2003. So by that time, I would have, if we met in, well, I did the class, your class in 2002. So mm-hmm. I had been working with the records probably for about a year. And the way I initially worked with them in my own practice was that if I would be working with someone on an inner child issue and we'd reach an impasse, then I would let them know about the records and offer to access the records for them. And it was the only modality that within my work I felt comfortable accessing, because I am a licensed marriage and family therapist and an addictions counselor. At that point in time, I hadn't separated out to just do the personal life coaching. So I wanted something that accessed more of the intuitive and the higher information that felt legitimate to me and felt, what's the word I want?
Well, it's soul information. True soul information about what the soul intention is of why the person brings forth the conflicts that they do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with your training, it sounds like you could really sort that out for folks in a very meaningful way.
Well, and the whole focus of my work is really empowering people to get the information themselves.
Right.
And so I never wanted to do just a reading on them, because that was a conflict of interest. But somehow,
for your business, as a therapist, correct?
Absolutely. And so that was the period of time when I was shifting over to being more of a spiritual life coach. And then since then, I've totally integrated it and don't even practice therapy anymore, because I don't want to be limited by that modality. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to. I still focus on people. You know, being empowered to bring the information through. But when we reach an impasse, I do access the records. And often I will then recommend that they take your class, especially if you're coming to town. You know, you come to Minneapolis like a couple times a year.
Right.
And so whenever possible, I'll highly recommend it, because that empowers them to really have that tool to access in themselves. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, back to Auschwitz.
Yeah,
okay,
no, oh yeah. Tell us about Auschwitz. There you go.
All right.
I want to hear.
Jumping all over.
I
well,
love
Auschwitz
this story.
Was Yeah, yeah. I seldom make it through it without getting teary, but I had gone over to Poland for the first time to be in Europe to meet my husband, who was raised there, and he had been there for, I think, 8 weeks when I joined him, and I just flew in and was there for like 5 days, and one of the things that we decided we wanted to do was to go to Auschwitz, and for people in Poland, it's really important for especially Americans to have some understanding of what Poland and, I mean, what Auschwitz and Birkenau and all of the different concentration camps mean to them. And so it was very important to Arthur's mother that we took this trip. Well,
I want to make a point, and I think what's important here is that both you, Arthur, and Arthur's mom are not Jewish.
You're absolutely
correct.
Right.
Yes,
absolutely.
this was from a humanity point of view.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. Great.
But she was greatly affected by the war, living in Warsaw at the time, and it had kind of framed Arthur's life as well. And in fact, the night we got back, that was the first time she ever opened up and would talk for 2 hours about what her experiences in the war had been. But when I got there, you know, I was walking along the infamous railroad tracks that we've all seen in the movies, and I had just read Lynn Grabhorn's book that was all about the teachings of Abraham, and I was trying to hold that, and I was working actively with the records, and I decided that I was going to open up the records of the land, and you and I had talked about how to do that, and that comes with, you know, the second class as well.
Level 2, right. Uh-huh.
Level 2, yeah, but...
Right.
But it was a little eerie to venture into doing that because, you know, I didn't have any other support around there, and I didn't know what I was going to access once I opened them. Of course, my fear was that I was going to access the records of the land and be, you know, just inundated with all these souls that were trying to jump on my light. You know, it's like, I didn't know what was going to happen. But what resulted was actually a very, very endearing exchange between myself and Mother Earth. So it didn't have to do with the souls as much as Mother Earth herself. And what was the most astounding is that, at least the way you taught me, was that when we access the records, then once we've done that, the common question or statement is, how can I be of service to you? And so I opened up the records of the land, and that was my first statement to Mother Earth, is how can I be of service to you? And it was as if she just emerged out of the soil. And it was, my first vision was of this just kind of very old woman who was just, you know, just downtrodden with burden and just amazingly moved that someone would actually ask her what they could do for her, because the whole role of the land at Auschwitz is to be the bearer of all this grief and all of the, you know, millions of tears that have been shed there. And so she was somewhat kind of hesitant to even understand what I was asking. And so then we just kind of dialogued, and I just said that, you know, that I explained what I was doing and that I'd been taught how to access the records, and that I knew that the records of the land that she held had its own story, and that what I was doing was trying to be responsive to her. And so what she proceeded to ask me to do was to take a stone from my body and take it with you wherever you go and experience joy, and infuse that stone with the essence of joy, because what I'm missing here is the joy of what really has occurred here. And what's being missed is the sacrifices that all the souls made here, that they had a story to tell, and that they have carried an energy for the planet to begin to deal with the Hitler that's within them. And so I proceeded to grab the stone, and or not grab it, I selected it very reverently, actually, and was still kind of in awe of this whole experience, and I tucked it in my purse, and I think it even took me a couple of days before I was even comfortable to tell, you know, my husband about this experience, and but I was so very moved by it, and it really actually touched the joy within me and began to give me a whole different perspective of what these different atrocities on the planet really hold for us. And the and this was after 9/11.
Yeah.
And so it brought me back in touch with the souls who have who had sacrificed themselves, you know, at Ground Zero, and what those souls hold for us as an opportunity. And so what that inspired me to do is I began to carry that stone with me every time I trained. And when I actually completed the marathon that I was training for, you know, I carried it all the way through that marathon. And I proceeded to complete three other marathons. And at every juncture, that stone was with me. And at the completion of each marathon, which each had a story of its own for me, it went across the Golden Gate Bridge. It went to Crown Zero for me with me. It actually, the last marathon I did was in New Orleans, and it was the first event that happened after Katrina. So
wow.
Every place that I went, the four corners of the United States, I put the stone up from each of those places, and those stones joined the stone that I had from Auschwitz. And so it's just held this incredible, incredible you know, meaning for me. And it also inspired me to start a 9-month group, which I called Joy Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
After that, and I started every group where we would pass around that stone, and I would access the records of the land, not being there, but from wherever I was with the use of that stone. So for the last, you know, 6 years, I've infused that stone with as much joy as I can. And that was all based on opening the records there.
That's just amazing. So I'm in awe of that story, and you have that story documented somewhere, don't you? Don't you have a book on
that?
Well,
yes, it's documented several places. Actually, it was published in the Edge magazine. So if somebody Googles my name, they can find it.
Spell their name for you, it's because you spell your first name a little different than most people who spell Catherine.
Yes, so
I think it's a perfect time for you to please give your contact information to our listeners and let them know how they can contact you. So please do that right now.
All right.
So phone numbers and email address and website. And then we'll do that again a couple of different times throughout the hour. But this is a great opportunity to do that right now, and then we'll talk about the Edge for a minute and move forward.
Okay, well,
I would more about your programs.
I would also love to have you share the story about Roswell when you opened the land.
That's a whole other day.
That's
great. That's a great story.
So, yeah, that is a great. Well, that's what inspired me to do it. So,
oh, I see. The Roswell story, huh?
Yeah. Okay, I'll give my information and then you can raise that or do it now. But,
yeah.
Okay, you spell my name, or I spell my name, C-A-T-H-R-Y-N, and the last name is Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. And the book that I authored, the first book that I authored was called The Inner Child Workbook, and that's still available at Barnes & Noble and Borders. And in fact, it's the number
classic
one.
Inner Child Work. It's fabulous for anybody.
Inner Child Workbook.
Oh, my God.
That's
right along, if not better than a lot of Bradshaw books. I've got to tell you folks. So if you are into that, that's something you need to get, and then call Catherine. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And I'll give them your phone number.
My number is 612-282-3686, and my email address is my initial CT and then innerchildwork@aol.com. And then I also have a website that has a lot of articles and a lot of different recordings that I've made on there. And that is www.joincatherinetaylor.com. So, and again, if people Google my name, then they're brought to a lot of different articles and to my website and stuff. So I'm pretty accessible through the internet.
Right. But tell us about the Joy Keeper. I want to talk about Roswell. That's great. But I would love to have you come back another time, and we'll talk about Roswell. I just want people to get a really wonderful flavor of all the wonderful things you do. So talk to me about your Joy Keeper. See, there's a couple of things I want to hear about. And then finally, we want to hear about teaching your inner child the secret. That's the thing. But folks got to listen to the end of the program before that. We're moving up to that, see. We're going to create some anticipation. But before we do that, I want to just give our telephone numbers here again. If someone's listening in and would like to make a phone call and ask Catherine a question about her work or her experiences with Auschwitz or marathons or how she uses the records in her exercise programs, please call 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Or toll free 888-810-8322 from Canada. And if you're calling internationally, 530-876-3222. Or you can email a chat question using the fast chat or quick chat area on the bbsradio.com website. Okay. So now, talk to us about Joy Keepers.
Okay, well, before I even get to Joy Keepers, one of the things that I do want to say is one of the things I really love about our friendship and our being colleagues is that I think we really represent the full spectrum of how somebody can really benefit from using the records. And what I mean by that is that I came in to your class with a pretty well-defined expertise being the inner child work. And what I did is I took the records and then I used that to enhance what I did. And what I saw in the class is that some people who came in there, like, you know, who were just taking the records because they wanted to become a practitioner of the Akashic Records were, you know, doing certain kinds of experimental readings, you know, how in the class you have us do readings on each other. But what I thought was fascinating is that there were several other people in that class that came in, like there was a lawyer, I think, in one of the classes I was in,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
at one class there was a doctor, and what I thought was fascinating is
and a newspaper man, an editor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was fascinating is that as we did our readings, specifically, that the record keepers really make use of what our vocabulary was and what our area of expertise was. So when I was doing readings on people, very often I would get some sort of connection with an inner child angle. Whereas when I had a reading like with the doctor, she spoke to me much more in terms of the physical manifestation of whatever I was talking about. So I just found that very fascinating,
mm-hmm.
How the record keepers made use of this. And at one point, that was difficult for me because I kept thinking, okay, now is this me or is this really me accessing the records?
Right.
And so I opened my own records and asked. And what came forth was that they make use of whatever we have that they can bring to the table because it's only going to enhance what the consultation is in the first place.
Right.
So I guess when I did that, then that built my self-confidence in terms of being able to integrate it. And so the Joy Keepers program...
Wait, before you go on through Joy Keepers, I want to make a distinction here, though, just for a moment. Because
okay.
I think your point is so well taken and it's very important. At the same time, it's really important for our listeners to know that when we open the records, we don't interpret anything. We don't tell people what we think it means. It the information comes purely for that person based on their needs. And so what also happens is even and especially in a beginning class, people use what they know. As you move forward in this work and go deeper with this work, and I think you can attest to this, information comes forward that you yourself have no idea the basis for. It's like it's things that you would never know about the person but it references information that you need to know to help that person move along on their path. At the same time, it's not even from an intuitive space because the energy source is the heart connected to the mind that goes to source. And beyond that is that it actually uses our languaging or our expertise in an expanded way that actually teaches us the same time we're helping our client.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I just wanted to make a point that this is not about coming through our personal filters. It's about enhancing what we already know and helping the person that has come forward. And invariably, the people who come to us are the ones that specifically need those various pieces of expertise. Whereas
Absolutely.
Mine is much more of a general point of view because my expertise is not in the inner child, although a lot of inner child work will come forward for me, and that's when if it's appropriate based on what the record keepers tell me, I'll either recommend your book or recommend you or that they do this type of work with whatever practitioner they're comfortable with, or you know, clearly I do what the record keepers tell me. I always tell people that I kind of show up and do what I'm told. So
I just want
to make that distinction. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I have had experiences where, because people know I do the Akashic Records, where someone will set up an appointment just to do that, and
sure.
They may ask a specific, you know, question that has to do with a somaticized problem, you know, some emotional problem that they're experiencing on the physical level, and that's when I really experience something coming through that I'm just speaking the words because I have no idea, you know, what's
right.
even being referenced, you know what I mean, and yet it resonates
right.
with the person.
Right.
And it will even, you know, stuff will come through that there's no way I could even know that will resonate. You
exactly.
know,
that yeah.
really legitimizes it for a person.
Sure. And that's what it's important because this is not like a psychic reading. It's not about futures. It's not about past life. It's about the here and now. It's about helping people remove their blocks and move forward on their path and what makes sense to them. So, yeah, I'm glad we kind of moved that,
yeah,
got that real clear. So, okay, now I want to hear about your Joy Keepers.
Okay, the Joy Keepers program I did for 2 or 3 years, and it was actually a 9-month program where people committed to integrating a physical goal with their spiritual practice, whatever it was. Mine was the Akashic Records and using that as my modality to connect, but people use different things. And then we'd go through the inner child stages of development and whatever barriers they bumped up in against in terms of their training, then that would kind of set the stage for what the work was. So the whole premise of the Joy Keepers program was that we could use our bodies and use the whole vehicle of exercise as a way to flush out our barriers to any other endeavor that we tried to pursue. Because most of us can exercise for about 3 months and then we lose interest. Well, most of us lose interest, you know, with anything we do after 3 months. And it's the same saboteur that's jumping on center stage. So the Joy Keepers program was just a method that I used and offered for people to systematically go through the different developmental stages and to flush out before the inner child sabotage them, to flush it out and work with it and be prepared for it so that they could show up for that event in a real triumphant way. And so that program ultimately ended up being distilled into a 90-day program and has now become the focus of my most recent book that was released, which is called Soul Steps. And I would have to say that the Soul Steps manual was written fully within the records, because I never wrote without opening my records.
Uh-huh.
So that whole book was conceived of and actually brought forth with me accessing my own records and really being directed by that. And so that's available, and that's out there. And that's another expression.
Available on your website, too, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. Yes.
Right.
And I'm sorry, what?
No, I was just going to say, and there was like, are you still doing the Joy Keepers program? If a group of folks wanted to get together and commission you to lead one of lead their group with the Joy Keepers program, you would do that, right?
If a group out of town, there'd have to be at least six that wanted to come together, and
okay.
I do that in several ways. I can do that within the 90-day program. Because the whole program is done via phone. The coaching
uh-huh.
is done via phone. But what I do with the 90-day program, if it's a group outside of my immediate area, is that I actually fly into that area once a month and we do a seminar. If people wanted to do it in a more extended way and do the 9-month program, then we would just extend the 90 days out. It's a 12-week program. We would just extend that out. But at this point, most people are following the 90-day structure, and so it's really a 12-week or 3-month program.
Great.
So, yes,
great.
I do that, and it's not location-dependent. So an individual can sign up for that, and I've done that with people that I've never even met.
Great.
They call, and we do the intake. But all of that information is on the website about what that program entails and how it's structured and the CDs that come with it, and the manual that comes with it.
And that's at www.joincatherinetaylor.com, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Make sure we get that in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk to me, in other words, like, do you feel complete with your information on the Joy Keepers? Because I really want to get to the teaching your inner child the secret. I have a question around that, and I want our listeners to hear that.
I do. The one point I do want to make is we were talking about Bradshaw's material before, and this is in line with the secret, because the last time that kind of a movement started like the secret was actually, I think, in the mid-80s when there was a whole onslaught of books that came out about codependency and the inner child material, and there were about five of us at that time, Bradshaw and myself included, that brought through the information on the inner child and that concept and really popularized it. And one of the things that I feel like I've really done out of those five authors is that I've continued to evolve that concept. And the Joy Keepers is one expression of that. And then I have another book that precedes the inner child and the secret, which is called Which Lifetime Is It Anyway? And
mm-hmm.
that really is the metaphysical expression of inner child work. And the whole premise of that book is the fact that what experiences we had in childhood are really the gifts from the soul, because those experiences are the portals of entry that we can begin to explore what our soul's purpose is and what the tasks are that our soul may have charted for us to experience in this lifetime. And so in that book, I have my own story that I tell about my first multidimensional crossover, which opened up this whole metaphysical and multidimensional piece of work from another lifetime. But I really used the inner child tools to work with the fragment of my soul. So Which Lifetime Is It Anyway expresses that arena with the inner child. Teaching the inner child the secret is taking it now into our spiritual world. And you want me to just launch into that?
Oh, please.
Are you ready to hear about that?
You're going to be doing it. You're going to be doing a series of classes in Minneapolis at Echo Bodine Center, aren't you?
Well, I'm actually doing them, yes.
Oh, you
I
are doing them
that.
Now?
Yes,
okay.
I'm on my third one. But each seminar is stands on its own. So,
okay.
So people can come to one of them or all 12 of them. But for the year of 2007, I'm contracted to do one seminar a month.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, and Echo Bodine, her calendar is it's www.echobodine.com, and Echo is a wonderful psychic, a fabulous healer, and she has a wonderful center right in Minneapolis. And so
yeah, just lovely.
Want to be able to sure want to be able to give her that plug and have everybody go to her site, and that they can also find out more about yours, because I'm sure there's a link there for your website as well, right?
There is a link, both on my website and on
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And each month it's I send in the new information about what that month's seminar is going to be, and there's no pre-registration. It's just show up at the door, and it's $20 at the door.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
What a bargain! What a gift! What a gift for you to do that for folks. Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
so yes, launch into this. We so want to hear. Go ahead.
Well, okay. To launch into that actually launches into my own story, because I had no idea that I was going to, be inspired to write a book about teaching the Anya tribe this secret, and I'm not sure that's going to be the name of it or what, but what happened to me...
Catchy title,
yeah. Yeah, but what happened to me when I first viewed the secret was that it happened to come at a time when I was beginning to work on what I call my last frontier. And this is part of my belief system, is that especially those of us who have been on the spiritual path for quite a while and have done a lot of our own inner work, that we're coming up on that last cherished area that we've never mastered. And one of the practitioners in The Secret, James Arthur Ray, talks about, he's coined a phrase called harmonic wealth. And he has five areas that we, to be really wealthy, that we're really, masters in. And what I've experienced is that all of us probably become a master in about four of them. But each of us has that kind of core issue that we just never seem to be able to make any headway on. Some of us, it's relationships.
I got a few more than one.
I'm sorry, you went out, what? I didn't hear you.
I said I have a few more than one core issue. Go ahead. No, I mean, we're all works in progress, so I can identify with this. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well. So my biggest area that I've never really focused on is finances. And part of the history of that is that I've been a social worker. So I've always kind of had a social worker's mentality. Now, I've always had the money that I've needed, and when I focus on it, I bring it in, but I've never made it, a primary focus. And so about 6 months ago, I decided that I wanted to change that. And I kind of started making the commitment to myself that before I leave this planet, I want to make, my $1 million, and I want to shift out of the social worker mentality. So I've been doing a lot of affirmations around that. Well, at the time when I watched The Secret, I, unbeknown to me, had kind of scratched the surface of what I call my cherished saboteur. So when I sat down to watch The Secret, the part of me that started watching that was this adolescent part of me who was going to have nothing to do with these new principles. And the woman even starts out, Rhonda Byrne, starts the whole movie out talking about her father. Well, I hadn't put two and two together yet, but as I was watching The Secret, I was getting more and more angry. And I was kind of appalled at this reaction because, like I said, I've been practicing, the laws of attraction for the last 20 years. I mean, that's how I manifested the concept for the Inner Child Workbook. So it's not like these laws were new to me. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. But because of my background, I mean, I even literally had to tell my friend Kim to shut it off. I said, I can't watch this. I'm just getting more and more angry. I don't know what's going on, but I need to just not watch this now. And so the next day I went into my meditation and said, what was that about? Well, this angry 17-year-old, emerged and just started telling me that she didn't want to have anything to do with it. Well, what that led to was this whole piece of work that actually went back to a loyalty to my father. And my whole financial piece, the whole reason I'm a social worker, has to do with this contract that I had with my father, who, when I was 17 years old and getting ready to launch into my adult life, actually suffered from depression and had a nervous breakdown. And up until that point in my life, he was my hero. And he was the person that I was modeling my adult self after. And so I didn't know how to go out into the adult world and be more successful than him. And so there had been this unconscious loyalty that I would never exceed him financially. And wow. That, you know, I could go out and I could be successful in a lot of areas in my life without messing with that loyalty to him. But once I went into the financial arena, then I was pushing up against that comfort zone. So literally, watching The Secret meant for me that I had to embrace my inner child and get her on board with The Secret. So I started doing that piece of work, and from that evolved the inspiration of me teaching the inner child that. And it actually came from some of the work I was doing with James Arthur Ray's CDs, because at one point he says, you know, learn this stuff good enough to be a teacher. And when I heard that on his CD, it's just kind of like the light went off, and I thought, of course, you know, what I need to bring forth is how to teach the inner child the secret, because people are going to practice these laws of attraction, and they're going to have a certain amount of success. But when they run into this sabotage, they're not going to know what to do with it. And if I wouldn't have known what I knew when I watched The Secret, I would have either just, you know, discredited the movie and never gone back to it, or I would have assumed it was me, that I just was, you know, a failure at this, and I didn't have the self-worth or the self-esteem to pull it off. And I knew enough to know that it wasn't about the illuminated adult part of me, but about a frightened part of me that was too scared to move forward, and I had to partner with that part of me and teach her these principles and these, you know, ancient laws, and help her move into her own empowerment. So the whole emphasis of this book is really eliminating the inner child's need to sabotage by empowering the inner child and partnering with the inner child to be able to work with this magic.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what this does is it helps our inner child eliminate our conflicting beliefs that block us for success in whether it's finances or weight or relationships or career. Is that what you're saying?
Partially. What precedes that is that as people begin to practice these laws of attraction and they begin to raise their level of consciousness based on what they're seeing in this movie, what they're doing is they are bringing in a higher frequency of light.
Okay.
Well, when we bring in more light, then we bring forth the shadow. And so what my work is
going to... Well, that makes
perfect
sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. But people are not being prepared for that. And so what my work is going to address and normalize is, you know, when you start having your successes, really, you know, ride with that as far as you can. But when you start to manifest or try to, you know, implement these laws of attraction and you're not having any success, it's not because you're failing. It's because you are illuminating a shadow part of you that needs to be healed and addressed before it's going to allow you to attract that which takes it out of its comfort zone.
So exactly.
Does that make sense?
But the question is just glaring. How do you do that?
Well, that's where the whole interactive tool of the inner child work comes in. The whole basis of inner child work is that as adults, we have acquired enough competency and enough compassion so that we can now basically go back in time to the moment of that wound and literally create a new reality for who we were at that moment in time. So what the mechanics are is that, and that's what this book does, is through guided imagery and through inventory and through identification, is it empowers people and gives them the methods of identifying which inner child it is, giving a face to the feelings so that they can interact with them. The whole operation of inner child work is to get the dyad between the part of us who is the healer and the part of us who is wounded. And if we collapse into an area of discomfort, then what we do is basically we start asking, why am I feeling this? I don't know why I always feel this. Well, the operative question is not why, but who. The minute I feel discomfort, if I can stop and say, who inside feels this? Right in that question, I have externalized that discomfort, and I have created a dyad between the part of me who's feeling the discomfort and the part of me who's asking the question. Just like when I went to Auschwitz, I created a dyad between me and Mother Earth, and that invited a conversation.
And can you define dyad, please? Because for maybe some of
dyad is just two entities, two aspects of us.
You're creating a dialogue with the two entities. Is that correct?
Of it. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. A dyad is establishing. It's the old Gestalt, the whole old Fritz Perls Gestalt theory of working with the different parts within us. And so when we create a dyad, we get the dialogue going between two conflicting parts, or the conflicted part and the healer who's responding. In inner child work, what we're doing is we are bringing the most nurturing part of us into dialogue with the wounded part of us. And we are responding to that wounded part in a way that is going to reestablish a sense of safety for them. Now, what enables us to do this as adults is that nobody knows what our inner child needs more than we know ourselves, because we've lived it. So the biggest hurdle that people have to get through when they're doing inner child work is the concept of this dialoguing. And so what I recommend initially is do it through your journaling, because it feels less schizophrenic doing it that way. Or sit in front of a mirror and start talking to yourself. And that emulates that dialogue, because you're talking to yourself and you're seeing yourself respond. So those are the two methods that I recommend people use to just get comfortable with even this kind of back and forth dialogue. And the dialogue goes something like, who inside's feeling this? And then you begin to get a sense of a little child. Some people see it, some people sense it, some people feel it. And again, you can either journal this out, or you can do it in your mind's eye, or you can do it in a mirror. And you just get the dialogue going, and you pretty soon the inner child is letting you know what its reality is. Now, the whole idea of the laws of attraction and the laws of the universal law is that we create our own reality. So even doing inner child work is literally going back in time and creating a new reality for that wounded part of us. When we do that, because the mind does not know what's real or imagined, it makes it possible to go back to that scene and to envision that scene turning out a different way or having an intervention so that that wound is healed.
But how does and we kind of only have about 5 more minutes left here, maybe a few more than that. But
oh my God.
But I'm so curious. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun here.
Yeah.
Well, you're just going to have to come back, and we're just going to continue some of the time.
Oh,
but what I want to say is that I so what happens to my conscious mind, my personality, when I say, yeah, well, it's okay that I created a new reality then, but when I come back to my real local self, I know that that's not true. What happens with that?
Well, you mean your adult self knows that that's not true?
Yes, uh-huh.
What you're doing is you're changing the experience of that inner child. And how our kind of patterns get started is that we have a wounding experience in childhood, and in that moment in time, we freeze. So it's like a knot is tied.
Uh-huh.
And even though our conscious mind continues to go on, there's that knot that exists in our unconscious. Okay, so when we go back in time and untie that knot, we free that energy. So the knee-jerk reaction that's happening in response to that old wound is no longer within our unconscious. So the conscious mind begins to feel the freedom and the loosening of that old energy. So that pattern and that magnet, which was attracting those old experiences that matched the vibration of that wound, once we've healed that wound, then we don't attract that anymore.
And the conscious mind can't find that reference point, so therefore,
exactly.
Even if it tries to find the reference point, it can't find
absolutely.
It. So it feels freer. It feels
absolutely.
Feels more comfortable.
Absolutely. A new reference mm-hmm. point is established. And we may have to do this, you know, several times and in several different kinds of situations.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, the knee-jerk reaction is dissolved, which then eliminates the magnet which has been attracting the wounding experiences into our lives until we heal it.
Well, this is just too fascinating, and you just got to come back and talk to us again about this. And
yeah.
And let me ask you this: this book is not written yet. You are in the process of writing. Is that it, or?
Absolutely.
Or what's going
yes, it's a work in process
okay.
right now.
It's a work in process. However,
right.
The actual interaction of helping a person teach their inner child the secret is ongoing from an experiential point of view by individual consultations with you. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
all that also, information is... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm also available to go anywhere to give the introductory talk, and I'm
right.
also looking for places around the country to sponsor me to come and do the series. So
well, we're just going to have to get you into San Diego where I go and Los Angeles
yeah.
and Washington
LA.
State
yeah.
and L.A. That's
yeah.
right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to get you out there and let people know how absolutely wonderful you are. You've got so much to share.
This is
cutting edge work for anybody who, you know, if for some reason you're getting in on the end of this talk, please go to the archive and listen to this whole entire program. It's fascinating. Catherine Taylor is someone really to be reckoned with. Her website is a 3 W's, www.joincatherinetaylor.com. Is it .com?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
.com. And all her information is there. If you'd like to contact her by phone, please call her at 612-282-3686. We'd like to thank again Akashic Records Consultants International, our sponsor, for all their wonderful work, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be talking about the Akashic Records and all these wonderful things that have come forward. And you can contact ARC at www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And finally, you can contact me. My name is Donna Fox, and this is Akashic Wisdom. We're on every Sunday night. Looking forward to hearing from you. Email your questions. You can call me at 216-691-1233. That's my office number, and you can call that 24/7, and there will be somebody there to answer, even if it's an answering machine, as well as email me at akashicwisdom
aol.com. It's been fabulous, Catherine, and you never know, we might even do this next week. Let's talk this week, and if our listeners, we'll just take a look and see. I'm going to be in Philadelphia on 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'm going to be presenting an introductory lecture in Philadelphia at the Rosicrucian Center, and I'm also going to be doing a level one there in Philly, and I'm scheduled to come in to San Diego on March 14th and do an introductory lecture in the Carlsbad area, as well as a level one training for the 17th and 18th of March. And that's what's coming up right away. And if you would like more information out there about the other workshops that I offer, please contact me. In the meantime, I would just again love to thank you so much for being a part of this program and for being doing the wonderful work that you do, and you should only prosper and give that teenager a hug and tell her thank you for bringing all this information forward.
Well, and my next seminar at Echoes actually is next Sunday, the 11th.
Okay, great. Well, give us some more information on that. We have about 30 seconds for you to give us some information about that workshop.
Well, actually,
go ahead.
It starts at 6:30 to 8, and it's Sunday night, and this one I'm going to be introducing the course themes and the different inner child stages and giving some ideas about what the basics are for establishing a relationship with the different children within. So it's a nice introductory class to the inner child work for sure.
So for those folks who are listening in Minneapolis, please show up, and it's well worth the $20. And if I wasn't going to be in Philly and didn't live in Cleveland, I'd probably be there. I so value your friendship and fact that you're a colleague of mine. And but I think we have to go. We started a little bit late, but this is going to be it for Akashic Wisdom tonight. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening in, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. And as I always like to say, may you all look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records for this class, this workshop, this wonderful program of Akashic Wisdom by saying amen, amen. The records are now closed, and if you would all join me in saying amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Donna. This is great. Good night, everybody.